Normally we do this on the first Wednesday of the month. We have one of our preachers preach from the local church here. And actually I thought this was going to be the first Wednesday of the month. But it's all right when you're 57 to make mistakes. Amen. And I don't really believe it's a mistake. I just think the Lord's got something he wants to say tonight. Amen. And Brother Martin's going to come and he's going to share the word of the Lord with us. Amen. Why don't you stand with me? Amen. And I believe our hearts are prepared. And we want Brother Martin to come right now and just take his liberty. Amen. And preach to us tonight. God bless you, Brother Martin. We love you.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? I take great joy in knowing that I serve a Lord who not only can provide, but provide every detail. Every little thing down to the nth of what you need. While you're standing, we'll go ahead and turn in our Bibles. The book of Proverbs, the 22nd chapter and the 28th verse. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. It says, "Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set." You may be seated. First, I wanted to pause and give honor to my great pastor. It is an awesome privilege to be able to stand before you tonight and bear my heart. Especially in the presence of these two men on this platform. Galileo, when describing his great achievements, simply stated that he was standing on the shoulders of giants. I truly believe that the Lord has given me an opportunity to be in the presence of two giants of the gospel. So, Brother Grissom, would you pray for the blessing over our message?
Jesus Christ, what a privilege to stand in your holy presence and hear your holy word. We pray tonight that you would give absolute liberty to Brother Martin as he gives to us the message that you have put in his heart. Help us to receive it tonight with faith and with courage. We give you thanks for this visitation of your spirit. Jesus.
Amen. If I could name my text anything, it would be the landmark. You see, the verse in Proverbs was actually quoting a much, much older verse that came from Deuteronomy, which gave the guidance of not removing a landmark or not removing your neighbor's landmark. You see, it was forbidden. To remove a landmark was to remove a boundary, was to remove a boundary that was given to someone with a promise. You see, that landmark was part of their promise. Webster's Dictionary defines a landmark as an object that marks a course or boundary or serves as a guide. You see, a landmark typically is an object that stands out. It is the very nature of a landmark to stand out and to be noticed. The purpose of being noticed is to either prompt a question or to tell a story. You see, it can mark a boundary or it can mark a happening. You see, not all landmarks are physical. Some landmarks are historical. Therein, the question or the story. Some landmarks were placed by the command of God. When you look at the Jordan River, and when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River into Gilgal, God told Joshua to remove 12 stones. Actually, to have one man from each of the tribes remove one stone from the river. They carried these stones upon their shoulders until they reached Gilgal. When they camped, they stacked these stones in such a manner that they would remain. The reason for these stones to remain was because when their children asked, the Lord told Joshua to tell them, the Lord dried up the river Jordan. The Lord backed up the waters in a place called Adam. You see, Adam was a place of the enemy. It was a testament not only that God allowed his people to cross over the waters, but it was a testimony that he backed them up in the enemy's front yard. That the enemy stood witness to God's miracle. You see, later on when they went in to conquer Jericho, they had already heard of God's people and God's miracles. You see, the people already had heard about the miracle. They didn't need to see the 12 stones. You see, the 12 stones were for the benefit of the believers. They already knew that the waters backed up because they had to deal with it. The landmark is not for your enemy. The landmark is not for someone to look at and tell your story, but your landmark is so that you can pass your story on. The landmarks that's talked about in Deuteronomy are the landmarks from where they divided the land. You see, they went and conquered the land, and after the land was fully taken, they went and everyone got a portion of their promise according to their tribe, according to their family, and according to their standing in their family. To move a man's landmark is to move his promise. To move his landmark is to usurp part of his promise, part of his blessing. It was the worst form of theft. As a matter of fact, they were not only commanded not to move a landmark, but you did not go into another man's land, and you didn't go into the land of the fatherless. Moving landmarks is not the only way to get rid of a landmark, though. Some landmarks are old landmarks. Some landmarks people say we don't need anymore. Some landmarks mark a place that's not used anymore. So we simply forget them. Let me tell you something, the very holiness that we stand for, the very standard that we stand for, the world has said we don't need that landmark anymore. If y'all don't mind me getting personal, I'm just going to tell a story. You see, my father looked like the 1950s. In 1983, he looked like the 1950s. When I saw him in 1996, he looked like the 1950s. You see, he just got stuck there. See, he found who he was, and he was okay with that. He found something he identified with, and he liked that, and he stuck with it. Our holiness, our standard, is one thing that we have found that fits us. Not only does it fit us, it's our promise. It's what God has given us for our protection. It's what marks a boundary. It's not only a landmark of a testimony. It not only tells our story, but it marks a boundary. I didn't come to talk on standards. I'll get back to my message. But just in parting, I will tell you, we are a separate people, and those landmarks are there for a reason. A historical landmark, an event that makes or marks a turning point. You see, when the children of Israel walked past that landmark, they said, "What are those stones? What are those stones there for?" And they got to tell them. You see, it's time we have some landmarks. It's time we have some reasons for our children to say, "Daddy, what is that? Daddy, why do we do that? Daddy, what is this about? Mama, why don't you? Mama, what is this about?" I got this funny little book. It kind of looks like my Bible. I heard Brother Spears tell his testimony, and it impressed me so much. Not because of who he is, but because of where he's from. I had no idea. You see, I had heard people tell stories about the man that weren't true, and I didn't see the marks. But you see, his testimony was a landmark. It was such a thing that it moved me to hold something new and dear, to stand in a land and see a promise. As soon as I left there, I went and bought this book. This book stands as one of the landmarks I plan on leaving for my children. You see, every time that I witness the miraculous, I write it in the book. And my book is not empty. You see, I heard that story a year ago, and I've already got multiple pages in my book. Because we live in a miraculous world. We live within a miraculous promise, and we live within things every day that should serve as landmarks. I have seen healings that I've written down. I've witnessed promises that God's made, delivered. I've heard God speak in this very congregation multiple times and deliver a message. And so I've put down a landmark. We've designated a place in our home that is a place when you walk by, it is a place of prayer. Maybe you don't know it walking in my home, but when my children walk past it, they know that that is our place of prayer. You see, we change some things up. We no longer kneel at the side of the bed and say, "Now I lay me down to sleep." But we meet in the living room and we talk to God. Until we build some landmarks. Until we uncover some landmarks. Oh, we're going to forget, church. Oh, we're going to forget. We got to hold fast to the old landmarks. We can't move our landmarks, and we can't hide our landmarks. You see, if you don't take care of a landmark, then it will go away. When I was a child, we played in a piece of woods out by my house. Not far away, just a bicycle ride away. We found headstones there, and it appealed to us as children. It was a spooky place. To find headstones in the woods will make your skin crawl. Maybe not yours, but it did mine. So we like to play around it, not necessarily in it, but around it. In high school, we thought it was a big thrill to go out at night and snipe hunt near it, leaving our victims to find it in the dark, to hear them scream and holler while we were peeling away. I don't know if you've ever been snipe hunting, but if you haven't, well, I won't ruin it for you. But just ask them if there's a graveyard around. But you see, I left and I went away for a few years. And when I came back, I drove past the old playground, the old woods that we hunted in, the old woods that we played in. And suddenly I found it was a monument. It was a park. Someone had discovered it. Someone who had been looking for it for years had finally found it. You see, someone rejoiced because they found what they were looking for. You see, in 1878, it was a powder mill for the Confederacy. It was sold for a burial ground, and it held graves of the famous H.B. Pemberton, A colored educator who changed the face of education in the South. Frederick William Gross is also buried there. You see, there's a significance. These were people of change. These were people who made things happen. These were people who were celebrated in their lives but were lost in their death. These are people who were buried in the woods, as far as I knew. But as soon as they were found, someone rejoiced. And they gathered donations, and people joined together, and they formed a society. And they went in, and they cleaned it up, and now it is a monument. Someone discovered the monument. Someone discovered the landmark. The saddest story is a lost landmark. The saddest story is to find something of significance that you cannot answer. You know in your heart that there's something there. There have been millions of dollars and years upon years of study placed in some mounds of dirt in Illinois. They're called the Indian Mounds. I've driven past them in my travels, and when asked, people simply say, "We don't know." Dirt was hauled in on the backs of Native Americans. Not just one or two, but years worth. People spent time to build a monument, yet we know not why. I know you're asking, where is this going? But this is a warning. You see, I can show you some monuments. I can show you where I prayed through on a little altar in Marshall, Texas. I can show you the baptismal that I was baptized in, and I can show you where I received God's Holy Spirit in me. But I can't show you who baptized me. I'm not telling any stories out of school. I'm not telling anybody else's story, and it's certainly not a finished story. But you see, I was raised with my friend. I was raised with him on a Pentecostal pew. He prayed through. He finally answered the call. He preached the sermon that I prayed through at. He baptized me in the wonderful name of Jesus. But today, I can't find him. Today, he is lost. You see, someone moved his landmark. Someone moved the landmark. Someone let it grow up and it went away. We can't move our landmarks. We can't lose our landmarks. We have to keep them in front of us every day. We have to teach them to our children, and we have to go on past them every day. Never, ever allow a landmark to have any growth around it, but revisit it every time you can. Oh, it's in the praise when we worship, and it's in our prayers. It's every time that we stand before God, it's a praise that goes up. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for this. Let's never forget our landmarks. There's also living landmarks. I couldn't find them in Webster's dictionary, but I look at them every day. You see, I see people who carry landmarks with them. They carry memories of things that have gone by. I see people who have witnessed the miraculous and can tell you verbatim exactly how they were. I remember hearing story after story of our elders. This person was healed, and on this day, this many got the Holy Ghost. You see, this isn't just something that happened today. This has been going on for years. You see, you're part of that landmark. You're the next generation of the landmark. You're what's holding it fast. You're the boundary, and you're the promise, and we're not to move. You see, those landmarks that mark the promise, that's where people lived. couldn't go out and plow without seeing God's promise. We shouldn't be able to look in a mirror without seeing God's promise. We shouldn't be able to wake in the morning and roll over and look around without seeing God's promise. You see, I have a testimony in my promise. I have a testimony in my landmark that I am no longer the man I started out to be. I am no longer a wretch. Oh, but I am of the redeemed. You see, I joined a family when I prayed through. I joined a family with a promise. You see, I became part of a nation of promise. And I'm not moving my landmark, and you don't touch my landmark either. You see, if you try to move my landmark, we'll fight. It means that much to me. Don't touch my landmark. Don't come around here moving my landmark. Don't come around saying, why do we do this? Because I'll show you it's in a landmark. Don't come around telling my children something other than what's preached from this pulpit, because you're moving my landmark. See, a landmark is a line, and a line is worth fighting for. Because once you draw a line, it's a line, and you don't move. Once you draw a line and someone comes against it, you don't move. We stand in a town full of landmarks. And they've drawn a line. I've researched and researched. Sunday night, I got reminded of it. I got reinvigorated by it. I just got charged up. Because you see, before the children of Israel got there, there were some other landmarks. I preached Sunday at a nursing home about Caleb renaming some of those landmarks. You see, a landmark can mark your victory, or it can mark their defeat. It can mark your victory and your promise, and it can mark them on their way out. I don't say that in a hateful way. I hope you understand that I hate sin, but I do love the sinner. I do love the sinner. Because you see, that sinner is going to be part of that promise too. If we can just get them to see the landmark. If we can just get them to ask that question. If we can just get them to say, hey, what is that? And then you tell it like God told it. You tell them how God told you to tell it. You say, this is my victory. This is what God did for me, and he can do it for you. If you're new to this gospel and you don't have that many landmarks, hold on. Because they're coming. You see, this is the time of harvest, and this is the time of promise. I have lived only 38 short years, but I can tell you in the latter part of this 38 years, in the last 2 years, I have seen more of God's promise than I ever have before. You see, I like to talk and call home and say, Mama, have you ever seen this? I like to call and talk to my elders and say, have you ever seen this? What does this mean? What's going on here? And every time, you know what they tell me? It's because we're in the harvest. You see, they've seen what time it is. They've plowed past the landmark enough to know. They've planted seeds along the landmarks. They've been past them enough to know that now's the time of harvest. Sister, if you want to come, I'm closing. I hope that there's never a point where I can't see my landmarks. I have found a new prayer, and that is this. Lord, do not let me lose my landmarks. But when I prayed that prayer, I also had to turn it back around and say, Lord, don't ever let me quit being a landmark. You see, at the end of this time, we're going to leave a landmark. Not only do you live by landmarks, but you are a landmark, and you'll leave a landmark. On the drive in, I couldn't help but think of all the little crosses along the road. And you see, those are little landmarks. You can't depart without leaving a landmark. And maybe not everybody, but I can tell you the ones that you care about most will stand before that landmark someday.
Yes.
And they're going to read what it says. And even though they all read somewhat similar, you see, there's a couple of lines on them that sometimes makes the difference. You see, on those little wreaths, a lot of times, it just has a name, accompanied by a date if there was enough room. But it marks a spot where someone left. Not anonymously, but they left. Somewhere else, there's another landmark, and it shows where they are now. That's the landmark that they'll stand in front of. What's it gonna say? Is it gonna say, he left too early? Is it going to say he was stolen from us in his prime? Is it going to be the story of agony and despair for a family, or is it going to be a rejoiceful note? Is it going to be the rejoiceful epitaph of a saint resting, or is it going to be a grieving family? You see, those are the landmarks. Those are the final landmarks of each and every one of us. I can't write it for you, and I won't. I don't want to know what it says. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. But I can tell you that there's only one way, and that's this. Oh, come join the promise. Oh, and if you're in the promise, I ask that you would just renew it. Oh, I'm going to open these altars right now. Saint, sinner, no matter who you are, you could have been in this church as a cornerstone when it was built. You could have set these pillars, or you could have just walked through the door. But you see, there's a landmark down here that'll change your landmark. There's a part of the promise that you can pick up out of the River Jordan, and you can take it to where you live, and you can set it down. And from now on, people will say, what is that? And you can tell them the story of redemption, and you can tell them the story of your salvation. You can tell them the story of how you had no way across and you had no way through, but God made a way. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Church, I think it would be a good idea if we all just came and renewed that. I'm opening these altars to everyone. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.